That was awesome. I appreciate that. Appreciate the effort. Choir, you look great this morning, sang great this morning. If you're visiting with us this morning for the first time this morning, you always look great, but look greater visiting with us. So we're glad that you're here, and thank you for being with us this morning. If it's your first time, we hope you find yourself at home. If you're a returning visitor, we're so glad that you have given us extra opportunity to get to know you. And to be part of what's going on here at Lock Haven Baptist Church. I tell you, look around, it's been a blessing. It looks like to me, this side over here is staying at it. We better keep growing. Got to keep at it. Got to get on over there. This week is our 7th year here at the church. It's our 7th year anniversary here. And I was looking back on the back of the wall at the list of pastors they have back there, and I've overtaken one more, Brother Harris. He was here 7 years, and I'm here 7 years and a few days. So, looking forward to taking over Brother Franks, and then Brother Riggs, unless the Lord comes back. Lord, if you want to come back before I overtake either one of them, praise God, we'd like that. I was at a pastor's fellowship conference this week. I was preaching downtown Orlando at Harvest Baptist Church, Brother Glendy Hamilton's church, on Tuesday, and I was able to talk with him a minute before the church started. This next week, over in Webster, Brother Emory King is celebrating his 37th year as the pastor over there in Webster. And I was asking Brother Glendy, because he's been there about 31 or 33 years, and he said the pastor at Brush Arbor has been there 42 years. And Brother Carter down in Haines City has been there 44 years, I believe is the number. So just staying at it. Just staying at it. So I tell you, it's faithfulness of the Lord to see what the Lord has continued to do here at Lock Haven Baptist Church. Such a great history that we have as a church in all the years. We'll be celebrating a 65th, is that right, Sister Barbara, in November? 65th year here on this property as a church in November. We'll have Brother LeBeau with us back in preaching and singing with us. He's a blind evangelist that comes through, and boy, he does a good job. But just seeing what God continues to do, and it doesn't happen by accident. Well, yesterday we had a good crowd that came out and went into the neighborhoods with us, was able to pass out some gospel tracts and invite folks to church. We got to be the church outside of these walls. We can't just come in here and huddle up. We got to stay busy and say, "Preacher, I'd love to come, but I work." Hey, you can carry gospel tracts with you everywhere. We've got them on this wall, this wall, this wall. I just ordered 4,000 more in English and 4,000 in Spanish that's coming. So they should be here next week or so for our fall campaign. Boy, we've got to just get them out. Get them out. Appreciate the effort you have done so far. Ephesians chapter number 1 this morning. Good to have Brother and Sister Daniel with us. They're friends of ours from Oklahoma down here on the front. About every 2 years, Brother O'Daniel, you visit or something like that. His church and used to support us when we were missionaries in Greece. They were a supporting church of ours. And then when we came down here, Lord led after being in Greece, missionary 12 years in Greece, we came here. He showed up with their service. I was like, wow, look there. Then about every other year he's been coming down, so I appreciate him coming and being with us. Thank you very much. He doesn't drive a short ways to come be with us either. They're not vacationing in Orlando, are you? It's a little further south, isn't it? Where are you staying, brother?
Where
are
you?
Vera B? No, they are staying nearby. They are driving a little bit closer than I thought. But thank you very much. Glad that you're here. Pastors up in Oklahoma and done a fine, fantastic job up there. Ephesians 1, now we're in a series, Enemies of the Home. Last week we looked at unforgiving spirit, an unforgiving spirit. Today, the main topic, the main thought is going to be insecurities. insecurities. And, you know, as we began this series last week and seeing it, I'm telling you that our Christian families and men and women and children, you're under a spiritual attack. It's a spiritual battle you're in. You know, and Satan, like a roaring lion, well, I'm telling you, he's seeking whom he may devour. And if he can't devour you, he wants to cause despair in your life. Right. Let me tell you, you feel overwhelmed. You feel like you can't take another step in the fight for the Lord. And, you know, we are to occupy until he comes. And part of that is to be a representative of Christ outside of the church. And so to be able to represent Christ out of the church, you've got to come here and get the things you need to encourage you, to edify you, to build you up for the work of the ministry so that you can be busy doing the ministry that the Lord has called you in and to be a part of. Now, as we discover these weapons and these enemies of the home this month, the month of September, every Sunday morning we'll be talking about one or two of them. I think next week we'll talk about indifferences or maybe misplaced priorities. I'm not sure. I may flip-flop one of those and see. But we're sure going to look at insecurities this morning. Now, you know, many times when I've talked to husband and wife, now this doesn't necessarily is not going to be a husband and wife message, but when I talk to them, in counseling, I hear this. The man might say, well, my wife has such a low opinion of herself. Or she might say something like this. The only way he can build himself up is that he tears me down. And it causes insecurities within us. And, you know, and sometimes it spills over into our churches, you know, in our membership. You know, we'll look at one family and say, at least I'm not doing what they're doing. Well, at least I'm more faithful than them. Well, you need to get into the New Testament because the Bible says after you've been all doing all that, you're still an unfaithful servant. As you look at this and the attack that's on Christians today to live godly and to fight godliness around us, we need to understand the ability to reflect Christ in this world. We're to be the light of the world. We're to be the salt of the world. And the ability to do that, dear friend, it comes from knowing who we are in Christ Jesus. Many of you are living in insecurities and disillusionments just simply because of experiences in life. You feel like you're unworthy. You feel like you can't you can't be part of something because of something that happened in your life or in the past or something that has been done to you. And I'm just here to tell you, dear friend, that God's message to you from the Bible is that Jesus Christ loves you, God loves you, and you are accepted by God in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen. Many, many Christians, instead of reflecting that message that we are accepted in Christ, we buy into the lie of the devil. We buy in to the advocate that is against us, and he unwittingly destroys our walk with Christ.
Right.
You know, the Bible talks about we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And one of those is to get you to think that you're nothing. Well, I love that old that song we sing sometimes, Brother Jim. A child of what? A child of the King.
Yeah.
A child of the King. Well, I tell you, once I was the son. My earthly father did not have that great testimony I gave you a couple of weeks ago. I will not go back into it. But I tell you, my heavenly Father has a wonderful testimony. He's the everlasting from everlasting, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning from the end. And I'm telling you, He is faithful, yea, and faithful, amen.
Yes.
And that's my Father, that I'm part of His family. Now, as we look at this here chapter, this verse, and we get into it, here's something I want to give you an illustration. It comes from a website, a Christian counselor's website. And it's four reasons why We often tear each other down rather than build each other up, especially in our marriages or relationship. Now, many of you are either married or you're going to be married. You're thinking about being married. I coached football over there at Eastland, and this Thursday was going through walk rounds, and on Wednesdays I don't go to practice at all because I'm just entirely too busy. But as I was walking around the players, they were stretching out. One of the players said, "Coach, did you enjoy your day off yesterday?" Oh, it's on Wednesday. I said, and another guy said, "He said he wasn't off. He was at work. He pastors a church." He said, "Well, he only preaches three times a week." You know, that's their thought. You know, he only preaches three times a week. And he said, "Well, tell me, what do you do?" I said, "The majority of my time I spend encouraging teenagers to run toward God and let God marry them up with somebody. I wish that we could let God do all that instead of us trying to do it, because we are bad pickers of mates many times. Just to be honest with you, we pick pickly pears and blowfishes a lot of times." And so, boy, they got a little laugh out of that. But here are four reasons this Christian counselor gave. It's, the number one reason was we're a self-seeking culture. Right. It's all about me. Right. We're driven towards self-fulfillment. That is what it's all about. It's what is in it for me. And we do not take time to develop our Christ honoring relationship with God. It's all about me, what I can get, and what you know. The thing about following the Lord, it's eternal. Many times, but I found out in my walk with the Lord that He fulfills me daily, and He desires to do that. Secondly, of course, is our fractured families. And you know, dear friend, we know Scripture, know what the Bible says, and we understand what the Bible says about marriage. But unfortunately, in our day and age which we live in, there are many homes that are fractured and splintered, and we as a church are not helping the men through their difficulties. We're not helping them to get to still feel part whenever that separation happens or whenever that divorce may take place. And we have to understand that that is an attack of the devil himself on homes and families. But we as a church got to realize that it is part of our society, and we've got to do our part to make them know that they are loved and cared for, instead of saying, "Ha, been married 28 years, why couldn't you do it?" Difficult. Being married is difficult. And when that happens, we need to love them and help them to understand that God loves them. That God loves them. And they are accepted in Christ Jesus just as much as you that's been married 25, 30, 35, 40 years. And I'm not putting down marriage. I'm thankful that you have endured it and stayed with it. But if you haven't, and things have happened, God loves you. Our church loves you. Third thing it said was the fading dignity in marriage. I'm just to be honest with you, God put marriage in the way it should have been in the Bible. Not justices, not congressmen, not governors, not judges. It was God. And it's a fading, it's just like, well, it just doesn't mean anything anymore. You know, and we're taught from a very young age in school that we need to try each other out. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Try each other out. You're not test driving a car. Amen. Can I say this as politely as I can without hurting anybody's feelings? Sex is for marriage.
Right.
And it's better weighted and placed in the marriage home. And enjoy it where it's supposed to be enjoyed at. Fourth thing is that we in our Christian circles care more about a $10,000 wedding than we do about equipping young men and young women on how to build a marriage. Well, preacher, I went down to the courthouse, paid my $30. They gave me a license, and I've got a license. I can get married. Listen, a license, dear friend, does not make a marriage. It only gives you the right to build one, but you have to know that have the tools to know how to build a marriage. And we are failing at that in our Christian circles. Ephesians 1, verse number 1. Insecurities. Whatever the reason is for your insecurity, or the reason you feel worthless, I pray today as we go through this verse and through these verses and these chapters, you get a biblical reason why you are something to God. Ephesians 1:1, the Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of the children of, by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. How? In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. This morning, for whatever reason you feel insecure, for whatever reason that you feel worthless, as we look through this portion of Scripture and this passage of Scripture, may you understand that the Bible says that you are somebody in Christ, not because you are somebody, but because of Christ Jesus, the Son of God, who gave Himself for you, and you put your faith and trust in Him. And dear friend, He is everything. He is everything. Verse 3, I mean, it's amazing to me. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with just a few, just a handful. Some of you need to quit looking at your past and seeing your failures and understand now that you're a child of God, that you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He has blessed you with all spiritual blessings. Not only that, verse number 4 says that He has chosen us according as He what? Hath chosen us. We have all spiritual blessings. He's chosen us. Chosen us to do what? Look at verse 5. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. What does that mean? When I got adopted into the family of God, whenever I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Not because I came and shook the preacher's hand. Not because I came and I got baptized. Not because I joined the choir. Not because I can quote scriptures and verses from the Bible. But because I put my faith and trust in the blood of Christ, which washes away how many sins? All sins. If it washes away all sins, dear friend, how many sins does that leave for the baptism to wash away? None. If it washes away all sins, how many sins does that give for the works of to wash away? None. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. Listen, dear friend, all sins are washed away and we have redemption through Him. It's not because of the church I attend. It's not because I come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Dear friend, I've stood in a garage many days of my life and I've never backed out a car. I always came out of that garage a sinner, just like I went in a sinner. And many of you come to church thinking you're going to come to church, it's going to make you a better saint. Come to church will equip you But if you don't know Christ, you have nothing to equip.
Right.
Nothing to equip. Pastor Dipson says, I'm adopted. You know what that means? When He adopted me into His family, I'm given a place as a full son of God.
Yeah.
I'm not a stepchild.
Right.
John chapter 1 verse 12, to many gave Him power to what? Become stepchildren. To become a half-brother. To become sons. Dear friend, I've been adopted into God's family.
Yeah.
I've been adopted and I am accepted in the beloved, according to verse 6. What does verse 6 say? To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us, what? Accepted. In who? In Lock Haven? In the beloved. Not because of what I've done. Listen, when God looks down to into my life and He sees me now, He sees me through the eyes of Christ. He looks at me through the blood of Jesus. He doesn't look at me and say, oh man, do you remember what He did back in 1987? You know what He says? What sin are you talking about?
Amen.
When the old accuser gets up there, the old devil gets up there, he says, well, you know how bad he was, you know how bad she was, you know what they did, you know what He did. He says, I'm faithful and I'm just to forgive them of all iniquity. What are you talking about? God does not accept me based upon my worthiness. He accepts me based upon the righteousness of Christ.
Yeah.
That's where it stands. Not because I'm somebody. Well, I tell you, sometimes we walk around as Christians strutting our stuff like a peacock.
Yeah.
We need to understand it's not our stuff that needs to be strutting. We need to decrease and He needs to increase.
Yeah.
We need to lift up Christ, because if we lift up Christ, He'll draw all men to Him. There is no human way that I can make myself acceptable in the eyes of God.
Right.
Try if you will. Try if you won't. Dear friend, you'll come up wanting. He'll weigh you in the balance. And your works will fail you every time.
Amen.
Not by works of righteousness that I'm saved.
Right.
Because then I could boast. Preacher, is it that Bible? Yes, Ephesians 2, 8, 9. It's there. I boast. I say, Lord, look at me. Look at what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. We need to apply the truths of the Bible in our life, dear friend. And I'm going to help you here. Your height, your weight, your race, your job, dear friend, does not matter to God. It's whether or not you know Christ Jesus, your personal Lord and Savior.
Right.
Are you accepted in the beloved? Yes, I'm saved. Yes, I've trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior. Yes, I realize I was a sinner, Pastor. Then understand this. Nothing you do or do not or don't do, dear friend, lowers your position in Christ. Build your relationships on truths.
Amen.
Build your relationship with God on the truths of the Word of God.
Amen.
Don't shorten His hand. Don't stop up His ear like Isaiah talks about with iniquity in your life, dear friend. Follow the truths of the Word of God. Here's a quote for you by Dr. Howard Hendricks. Dr. Howard Hendricks said this, the object of the Bible Bible study is to change lives. As Christians, the Christian world is struggling for one thing, vitamin A. He said vitamin A is application. We're struggling to apply Scripture in our life. We're struggling to take the Word of God and the truths of the Word of God and apply it to our life. The Bible is written for us and for our understanding, for our knowledge, for our wisdom, for our instruction, so that we might be able to represent Christ well. Some of you are just like Charlie Brown. Old Lucy told Charlie Brown one time, you, Charlie Brown, you're a foul ball in the line drive of life. That's how you think of yourself. Listen, dear friend, we have made mistakes. If you didn't make a mistake, you wouldn't have needed to be saved. You are a sinner. If you weren't a sinner, there was no need for a Savior.
Right.
We are sinners before God. And yes, we fall short. You know what falling short means? My target is that pew. I go to third. God's glory. And thank God for it, because if I go beyond God's glory, I no longer need God. I need God in my life. I need Him to help me hit the mark. Because I am a sinner before I'm saved, and I'm a sinner saved by grace after I have trusted Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Look in Ephesians 4:29. We looked at this verse last week. Ephesians 4:29. Church, instead of being preoccupied with ourselves, we need to be preoccupied with building others up. Verse 29 of chapter 4, Ephesians, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of what? Edifying. That it may minister grace unto the hearers. I just don't think that the church is a place, Pastor, that we should be addressing insecurities. Then why in the world did God say that we're to edify?
Right.
Why are you thinking that you cannot do a particular thing for God because of your past? There are qualifications in the Bible, dear friend. But you can always serve God somewhere in His kingdom. You are somebody in Christ Jesus. If broken lives cannot be mended here at the church, dear friend, where can they be mended? Perhaps we can take them down to Wawa and we can get them a sub, a hoagie, and we can get them a cup of coffee and send them on their way. Well, that's many of what our churches are doing. We bring them in here, we give them a hoagie, we give them a cup of coffee, we send them on their way without sharing the Word of God or equipping them with the Word of God. They go back out into this world and they are beat down and destroyed by Satan. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You understand that the word edifying means that to build up. That's what it means. To encourage, to lift up, to prop up. And we're to do that. And we've got to poke people along and get them along. And you know, the Bible says in 1 John chapter number 4, perfect love casts out all fear. Some of you are afraid to step out of your comfort zone and get busy for God because of fear. What if somebody finds out what my life was? The Bible says, and such were some of you.
Right.
Go look at that list. Drunkards, fornicators, adulterers, idolaters.
Right.
Such were some of you. Dear friend, I'm telling you, we're all cut from rough lumber.
Right.
Splintered, many of us. But on the plane of God's love and the plane of God's Spirit and the plane of the Word of God, boy, He'll smooth you out. He'll use you and He'll place you and fit you right into the family of God where you need to be placed if you'll only understand that you are God's.
Yeah.
Hebrews 10:24 says, consider one another. When's the last time, dear friend, that you come to church purposely with thought in mind, I am going to consider somebody else's needs. I am going to encourage somebody else to walk closer with God. God, today I'm going to church not for what I can get, not so I can be fulfilled, but Lord, so today I can help somebody else get closer and walk closer to you and reflect Christ more like they should. When's the last time? Preacher, if I get close to people, they're going to know what I am. They're going to find out what I am. Dear friend, iron sharpeneth iron. Your fault may be completely different than my fault. But God puts people together so that we can rub and wash and clean and pull and shove and provoke each other along so that we can represent Christ well. Your past is different from my past. I mean, wouldn't that be an eerie, spooky thing? That, you know, we get in a conversation, brother, everybody talk over the room, drinking coffee, and your sin was my sin. Whoa, what happened there? I did this, and Brother John, well, I did that too. That'd be kind of crazy. We're not the same. We haven't all traveled the same path. We haven't all went down the same road. How in the world would we ever build each other up if we all lived the same life in the past?
Right.
We could not. That's why God uses us and strengthens us that we might help one another along. God desires that we nourish and care for one another.
Amen.
Why? Because we need each other. There was a Royal Air Force pilot named Peter Foster. In World War II, he was probably one of the best pilots they ever had. I mean, he was a good pilot. And they flew the hurricanes, and they endured over 57 different consecutive nights of bombing by Hitler. I mean, bomb after bomb after bomb. And those little hurricane planes would go up there, and boy, they were fighting off those bombers as they were coming in, but they had a flaw. The flaw was that they had the gas line running right through the cockpit, running right through it. And any direct hit, I mean, immediately it would burst in flames. The cockpit, they would hit eject, but it'd be too late because all the heat and everything would completely just mar their face and body and be completely burned. Third degree. Is there a fourth degree burn, Sister Nami? I don't know. Fifth degrees? I mean, it was bad. It just burned off. I mean, just bad. And he was engaged to be married. And man, he did not understand and did not have no idea how his wife would, his future wife would accept. He just thought, man, it was not going to work. But he came to understand that as he got released from the hospital and his spouse or his fiance assured him of her love and they went ahead and got married. This is what he said. She became my mirror. It got so bad he didn't even want to look in the mirror. But she loved him so much, she cared for him so much, she nursed him so much. She became his mirror and she gave him a new image. It was her loving smile that says it's okay who you are. And I'm going to tell you, dear friend, as much as that woman could ever love her husband, God loves you much more than that. And His loving smile says to you that you are something in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Got to care for each other. We stand up, we see somebody fall, and we stick our nose up in the air. That shows that you are not spiritual because the Bible says, ye which are spiritual, pick up such a one that's fallen. I'll never do that. I'm a better Christian than that. Well, really? Only by the grace of God, Lord. Tomorrow morning we could all wake up in a pitiful, pitiful situation and needing somebody's hand, needing somebody's encouragement, needing somebody to lift us along. Can I say this to you, dear friend? We are either nurturing and cherishing one another, or we're dismantling and destroying one another. We dear friend, Christians are the world's worst at keeping our wounded. Instead of a preacher, I got wounded years ago. Still got a scar, don't you? Still got a scar, don't you? Sometimes it's difficult to open up and talk to people about it, isn't it? Sometimes it's just so difficult to bring up the thoughts and the memories of the past. But you can always talk to God. You can always turn to Him. The truth is, dear friend, that we are in the edifying business. We are a hospital for the wounded and for the sick. And if we can't care for our wounded, how in the world can we put them back on the first line of the front lines?
Yeah.
This is what we do. Somebody gets hurt, somebody goes through a terrible situation, somebody gets abused and used and misused and misunderstood, and we say, well, I'm going to pray for you. Now get back on out there. Here's your water gun. And we put them right back out there against the wiles of the devil. And we do not equip them in prayer, surrounding them with love, and encourage them through their insecurities that, hey, you might have messed up, but He's faithful and just to forgive you. He will give you the strength to go on. Forsake it and confess it before God and give it to God and stand afresh and anew before Him and get back out there and fight the good fight of faith. Can you imagine how we must break God's heart when we fall into sin? How much more do we break God's heart as the one that is supposed to come along and scoop them up and care for that wounded? He said, I'll leave the 99 and I'll go after the one. How does He do that? Through us. How does He go after the 99? How does He take that cup of water to the one who's thirsty? How does He go visit that one that's sick? How does He go to the hospital and visit that one that's sick? How does He go to the jail and visit that one that's locked up? How does He do that? Through us. I want you to know, dear friend, that you're accepted in the Beloved. In your insecurities, in your feeling of overwhelmness, in your feeling of unworthiness, you are still God's child. You're His child. Ephesians chapter number 1. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. I close with this morning. If you are accepted in the Beloved, live like it. You're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. If you've never understood verse 7 until this morning, that redemption is through His blood, and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, this morning, will you come? Let us take the Word of God and show you how you can know that you have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Brother Jim, let's stand, church. Guest is on our way. We're going to sing a verse of invitation. We'll give you opportunity. If you've never trusted Christ, if you would like to know more about the church, you'd like to know, you've trusted Christ, you've never presented yourself for believer's baptism, and you'd like to know more about that, come talk to me. I'll be down here. What page, brother?
385.
385, church.